Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman with ABCs of Christian Growth, and study number 6 is what we're going to be going into today, a brand new study of the letter F, and what that's going to stand for is the family. Now, when we say family, we're talking about the Christian home. The Christian home. We got no reason to be talking about a worldly home because worldly homes are what we're trying to avoid. And especially having the enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil in our home, that what we want to find out is what the Bible says a Christian home is supposed to be like. So we'll begin that, and we'll get started with that study today and carry it as far as it needs to. But I want to remind you that this is the ABCs of Christian Growth. And when we talk about the family and we talk about the Christian home, we're going to be talking about the doctrinal things that the Bible teaches concerning the family. And when we talk about the family, we're going to talk about where the family came from. We're going to also, for instance, the first home. And we're also going to talk about the husband's duty in the home to his wife. We're going to talk about the wife's duty to her husband in the home. And we're going to talk about both of them, the husband and the wife, as far as the parents' duty to their children. Now, we're going to be talking about what the Bible says and not what we think and not what society teaches and all these new stupid rules that are out there that make absolutely no sense concerning the family, and they're not for the family. The things that are in the world today in 2018 are against the family and for busting up the family. The world that you live in today is not for the family at all. It's not for the family at all. It's for control. And they want to control the man and the woman, and they want to bust up the family, and they're doing it by allowing all these new things to come about. And we'll get into some of that in another study called in the letter X, called X-Rated for Christians. Now, we'll talk about also in this study of the family, children's duties to their parents. Also, children are part of the family. There's a husband, a wife, and children. Now we'll talk about family life and what the Bible teaches about family life. And the Bible says, in the house of the righteous is much treasure, in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 6. We'll talk about establishing a family altar in the home. Now, remember, we're talking about the Christian home. We're not talking about just any old home. We're talking about a Christian home. And that's what you ought to be interested in. And if you're listening to this, I know that you are. That's what you ought to be interested in, is what the Bible says concerning a home. Now, I don't know where what your family situation is, but the Bible can make it right. And the Lord can make it right. If we do what the Bible says and do it how the Bible says and what God's Word says, then, of course, we're going to run into things and things are going to happen. And we know that. But the fundamentals of what a Christian home is and what a Christian home should be like and be run like, and everybody being in their measure and in what God says their boundaries are in the home and what their responsibilities are in the home, then it'll be a beautiful thing. The Bible says that there are two institutions. The Bible teaches that God has two institutions that He instituted in the Scriptures. One of them is the home. And the other is the assembly, the church. Nothing should be more important to a Christian than these two places, because they're sacred according to the Word of God. And the Lord, when He speaks about these two places, He speaks out of a heart of love, and you can tell that when you're reading the Scriptures, that the Lord loves these two institutions, the family and the church. And when we say church, we're talking about the assembly of born-again, baptized believers. And we're not talking about a building or the Pope or the Vatican or something like that. We're talking about the believers, born again baptized believers, as they come together. And we've been over that when we studied the letter C, if you remember. Now, contrary to what many think, the home and the church are complementary. They complement one another, and according to the Scriptures, they should. A good church ought to be built out of good, solid, families that are founded in the Word of God. And a good family, the greatest home, is one that's built around the assembly, around the church. And the greatest church is, just like we said, is one that's made up of families who attend faithfully and serve the Lord. And if you've ever been in an assembly where it is sincere, now, of course, Satan's two main attacks today, if you'll, in 2018, what we've been talking about, is the family and the church. And those are the two that are having to do with Christianity and in Christendom that are suffering the most right now, because it's getting toward the end times and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rapture, when he's coming to get us. And it's getting very close. It's getting very, very close. And let him find us watching. Let him find us faithful. Let him find us faithful. I appreciate you so much listening into these, and I'll do my very best to, I'm going to stay right with the Word of God and tell you what the Word of God says, and your job is to study it and believe it. And you not believe it because I said it, because it could be anybody's voice on this side, but you study it because it's what God says, and you believe it because it's what God says. Now, It's little wonder that Satan's arena of his attacks on the home and in the churches, and that's what he's doing. Now, this is truly an age when many homes are being broken all to pieces. There's one out of every two marriages end in divorce nowadays. And America no longer has a God. Well, they do have gods, but they no longer honor or recognize the God of the Bible. America's gods are, I was going to tell you, sex, education, and money. And in order, it would be money, sex, and education. Those are America's three gods now. And if you don't believe it, check it out. But I don't think you've got any problem believing that. You look on the television, you look in society, you look on the billboards, you listen to conversations, you listen to the conversation of the world, the conversation of the radio, the conversation, you read the newspaper, you'll find out that money is the number one god of America, sex and perversion is the number two god of America, and the number three god of America is education, or science and education and all of that. And they're all three kicking God out, and God is no longer welcome in the United States. But that shouldn't change a Christian's mind about anything having to do with the God that he loves. And we love the God of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ, and our Heavenly Father. And we love the Holy Ghost that dwells within us and teaches us and guides us, don't we? So we need to understand that the enemy's attack is mainly on the family and on the church. And both of these are suffering. And the church, the churches 20 years ago, even 30 and 40 years ago, that used to preach the Word of God and teach the Word of God, are now going apostate, and they're still calling themselves independent, fundamental, and all this, that, and the other. But they're theatrical plays that are put on every Sunday. Now, if you're listening to this and you happen to be a preacher and or happen to have to do with a church, and you say, Brother Thurman, I know of a church that's not doing that, well, praise the Lord. That's where you need to be. But I'm not going to venture to put it in any kind of percentage, but I don't even know how to put it. But I've been in a lot of churches with a men's camp that I used to run, and we used to go and update the churches and go. And I've been in lots of churches, and I've seen what the enemy's doing and what he's doing to pastors, what he's doing to the Word of God, and what he's doing to the assemblies. And they're turning into theaters. And it's not to honor the Lord. It's not to honor His Word. And the enemy is busy in the churches, tearing them all to pieces. And we talked about that when we were in the letter C. But particularly, we're going to be talking about the family in this one. And I ain't got to give you any kind of percentage or any kind of... I don't believe I'd have to twist your finger or twist your arm to get you to understand that the families are being... You can't see that families are being destroyed today. You can't see by looking at men... men in America that the families are being destroyed. You can't see by looking at the women in America that and what they're up to and what their thinking is like that the family is being destroyed. And let me ask you something else. You can't tell by looking at the children that the families are being destroyed. I think the answer is yes on all three of them. We can see it, and it is true. The Bible is a very practical book and has much to say about the home. It comments and talks and gives us doctrine on what a man's duties are in a marriage. It gives us doctrine and the duties of a woman and the wife. The Bible calls her a wife in the Scriptures. And it doesn't matter what people are saying, we're going to preach and talk about what the Bible says. And we're going to line our thinking up to what God says, and we're going to name it like what God names it, not like the world. That's the problem today, and you know what I'm talking about. And if you don't, the Scriptures are going to teach you that. And our duty is to believe the Scriptures and to conform our thinking and conform our hearts into what the Scriptures say. Okay? Now, God has a definite blueprint for the family. There's no secrets about what God has put down and how He has designed and set up the family and how it should operate. Now, every family is different and every person is different. The Lord made us that way. But there are principles in the family and direction in the family and authority and leadership in the family and subjection and submission in the family. And everybody has their own responsibilities, not one being more important than the other, but that they all come together in unity to make a family function that's pleasing before God. Now, space is not going to permit us to have an exhaustive study on this. It's called the ABCs of Christian Growth. But we are going to study some things and outline what a family is supposed to be like. And I think as we go through this study, I'm pretty sure I've been through this study lots of times. But as we go through this study, you're going to, in every study, it will comment not directly, but indirectly about family and responsibility. Some studies will talk about the man, and it'll reflect on his duties in the family. Some studies will talk about a woman, and it'll reflect. And some will talk about children. And like I said a while ago, we'll get into that study X-rated for Christians. There's a lot of things in that study that are really going to talk about and line up and get lined up with the Scriptures about how things should be, and it'll reflect on the man as an individual and the woman and the child, the children. Okay? So, space not, like I said, this is not going to be an exhaustive study concerning the family, but it is going to be a very informative and factual and doctrinal study about the Christian home. Now, I don't know if you've ever been married, and I don't know if you've ever been divorced, the Scriptures talk about that, and we're going to see you can get your answers about this. And I'm not too, I don't know how to put this. You can, if there's something that you need an answer for, that you don't absolutely need an answer for concerning the family, you're welcome to call, you're welcome to email me, and I will get the Scriptures, and I will write out an answer for you from the Scriptures and email it back to you. I will do that. But if you got a good pastor and you have, and you know that he's a Bible believer and that he believes God's word, he don't just say it, but he does believe it, and he does it by, he walks what he speaks, then you can go to him and you can find out and counsel with him concerning the family. But remember this now, whenever you, it's 100% beautiful that you're wanting to find out what your duties are in the family to begin with. But another thing that you need to do is have the want to when you find out. I heard a man say one time that when you're studying something and when you're trying to find something out, what you learn is completely dependent on what you want to know. What you want to find out. What you learn is, it has a whole lot to do with what you want to find out. If you're going to make an excuse and you're just looking for the facts to make an excuse about something so that, you can continue to do what you're doing, you're wasting your time. Because God doesn't play those kinds of games. Now, if you really want to have a good family and you really want your family to come into unity with God the Holy Ghost, and you want and you want your family to be right as right can be, then you got to be willing to accept your part of the family and what the Bible says your part in the family and your measure in the family is. And you got to be willing to accept the good of what you're going to like about being in the family, and you're going to have to be willing to accept the sacrificial part of what your role is in the family also. Now, we're going to, in this study, we're going to dismiss anything that ERA and all the women's rights and the minorities and all that kind of garbage like that. We're going to throw all of that out, and the men's rights and blah, 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 blah. We're going to throw all of that out, and we're going to find out what the Bible says concerning the family. And what the Lord says a family should be like, okay? Now, the first thing that we want to talk about in this study is the first home. The first home. That's going to be the first topic in our study. And we're going to go to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15 through 25. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 through 25. I'm going to read that to you. And we're going to ask a few questions, answer a few questions. Excuse me. So let me go ahead and read that to you. The Bible says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden and to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, It is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Okay, well, there's the scriptures. It's pretty neat, isn't it? That's pretty neat, and nothing confusing about that at all. Where'd the man come from? God made him. Where'd the woman come from? God made him out of the man, made her out of the man. And the Lord didn't leave anything left out. He showed the beginning of the man. He showed that he saw a problem in man, that it wasn't good for him to be alone. And let me ask you something. Are you alone? Do you like being alone? God's right, ain't he? God had a valid concern about a man, didn't he? About being alone. Let's answer a few questions concerning this scripture. Now, what did God say was not good for a man? Remember when we was reading there in the scripture, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. So how would we answer that? What did God say was not good for a man? For him to be alone. Now, it don't matter. You can live the rest of your life single. Paul was single. And Paul even recommended that a man remain like him. He said, you'll have less trouble in the flesh. He said, but if you burn, marry. Paul didn't have a problem with it either way. Now, Peter was married, and a lot of the other ones were married. So we see people that were married and people that were not married. But the Bible says that if you don't want to be alone, then marry. But the Bible says that God seen a problem, and it wasn't a problem, it was a concern. He said, it's not good. God said, when he made that man, it's not good that a man be alone. God didn't want him to be alone. So what'd he do? He made all the animals to see if one of them would comfort him and be a helpmeet to him. And none of them were. Not like what God thought. So God put him to sleep, took a rib out, made a woman out of the man's rib, and brought the woman to Adam, and she fit the bill perfectly. She fit the bill perfectly. And God married him, called him the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Not ashamed. I call that the most beautiful marriage in the world, don't you? Talk about a romance. God brings you somebody. He marries you and then tells you, be fruitful and multiply and don't worry about it. Just eat all you want. Just stay off of that one tree. The Lord made marriage. He made the first home. He's the one that brought about the institution of the home, the Christian home, the family. Now, another question. How was the first woman made? What's the Bible say? It says in the scriptures there in Genesis, remember what we read? And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he, the Lord, took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman. Made he a woman. How was the first woman made? By the Lord. The Lord handmade a woman. And he made her out of what? He made her out of the rib of a man, of Adam, that he took out personally and made the woman. The Lord is the one that made the woman. All right, here's another question. In this passage, God says a woman is to be a what for the man? A what? I think it even said it twice, didn't it? The Lord said, I will make him a help meet for him. When he was talking about the very first time when he wanted to make something for the man after he said it was not good for him to be alone, he said, I will make him a help meet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And Adam named them all. And the Lord said, this is not good enough. So he caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam. And he said, but for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. So what was the Lord pursuing whenever he said, this is not good that a man should be alone. I don't think he ought to be alone. So I'm going to make a helpmeet for him. What did the Lord say the woman was made for? What's it say? It says because the Lord was looking for a help meet for him. Okay, now when we say help meet, it's talking about the woman completing the man. A help that is meet for him. Not M-E-A-T, M-E-E-T, meet for him. The woman completes the man. She is what keeps him from being alone. Isn't that what the scripture says? The Lord's concern was for the man not to be alone. And the only one that could fit that place and complete and fulfill that need that the Lord himself brought. Adam didn't say nothing about being alone. The Lord brought the subject up. And he said, it's not good for the man to be alone. So I'm going to find a helpmeet for him. Somebody to fill that spot for his loneliness and for him to fulfill him. And it ended up being a beautiful woman that the Lord himself made. And you know, if the Lord makes it, it's beautiful. And a godly woman in a family that loves the Lord more than anything in her life and then is fulfilling a role as a Christian woman and is sacrificing and doing the things that are pleasing to her Lord and as a woman and fulfilling her role in the family is a beautiful thing. Very beautiful to look at. Now, another question. In the marriage, what are the couple to leave? What's the couple to leave? Now, remember, after the Lord, it says, because Adam named the woman, and then the Lord brought the woman, the Lord brought the woman to the man, and it says, he closed up the flesh thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. Okay, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bone or flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. And then what's the next thing that happened? Therefore shall the man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. Notice they're a couple now. They're not man and woman. The Bible says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, you see, and they shall be one flesh. So the two become the man shall cleave unto his wife, but they become, when they come together, they become one flesh. And it says they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So the concern here that we have is, or not concerned, but what we're wanting to know is, in marriage, what are the couple to leave? They are to leave the father and the mother, as far as being in that family, not as far as relationship, but as far as being in that family, and they're to make a new family. In marriage, what do the couple become? What do they become? They become a new unit, a new family. They become one with each other. And they are no longer part of mommy and daddy. They are part of man and his wife. Man and his wife. Okay, interesting. Now, I want you to know something, and you already know it because we just read it. What is, who's the one that's telling us all this, and who's the one that's narrating all this? It's the Lord. The Lord's the one that put the home together. Now, in Matthew chapter 19, verse 4 through 6, listen to this. And he answered and said, this is the Lord Jesus talking, and he answered and said unto them, have ye not read? He's referring them to the scriptures, that he which made them, talking about the man and the woman, at the beginning, remember when you started? And the Lord made them in the beginning, made them male and female. Now, we can get into a lot of talk about that, and we're going to, but it's going to be in another study. Made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall... Now, notice what he said. For this cause. What cause? Male and female coming together. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife. And notice the Lord Jesus Christ called her his wife. And they twain, two, shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more one, no more twain, but one flesh. He comes back again and reconfirms that. And confirms what he said to begin with. And they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together. Who did it? The Lord did it. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Okay, what did the Lord Jesus Christ say concerning permanency of this marriage relationship? What did he say? We just read it. It said, what therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. So what was the Lord Jesus Christ's opinion on the permanency or the longevity of this marriage? Forever, right? As long as they live. And we'll find out when the marriage agreement or commitment is in another part of the study. We'll find out how the marriage can be ended, or how the marriage when the marriage ends concerning this. And this is part of it right here. But this was the Lord Jesus Christ's opinion about this. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. So to answer that, what would you say? What did the Lord Jesus Christ say concerning permanency of the marriage relationship? He said, don't let no man put it asunder. And the Lord put them together. So he intends for it to, if you're going to come together and you're going to be husband and wife, then you're going to be one, twain shall be one, and you're going to be that until you leave your body. Look here in Romans chapter 7, verse 1 through 3. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth? For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. So, is it all right to be married twice in your life? Oh, what did the scripture just say? We're going to get into all that in another study too, probably this one. What does it mean? When does the marriage? How does the marriage actually become a marriage? Is it a contract? Is it a piece of paper? Is it a ceremony? What is it that actually makes a marriage when the husband and wife twain come together and be one? What is it that actually consummates the marriage? Well, we'll talk about that too. According to God's plan for a marriage, the bond of marriage was to be broken by what? It says, but if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. Okay, so what the bond of marriage was to be broken by what? By death. By death. Now that's the Lord Jesus Christ talking, or that's Paul speaking of what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Now in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, the Bible says, marriage is honorable in all. Notice the Bible uses the word marriage. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. The Bible says if a man or woman are married, that they can't, that whatever they do together, in the marriage, as far as being married and being one, it's honorable in all, and the bed is undefiled. They can't do anything dirty or ungodly before. Now, the devil can put things in marriage, but that's getting into the flesh and ungodly things. But what I mean is, as far as a man and a woman being married and honoring the Lord, anything that they do together or do in their bed is clean in the eyes of the Lord. It's undefiled. But the Lord said, whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Okay, so what two things does God say are honorable? What two things did God say were honorable in Hebrews? He said, marriage is honorable. Marriage is honorable in all. In all. And what else did he say? And the bed, undefiled. Undefiled. It's honorable too. The Lord takes pleasure in whatever a man and a woman do in their marriage, as far as a godly marriage and a God-honoring marriage. And he also takes pleasure in what a man and a woman in a marriage as one and not twain, but one, do in their bed. So there we are. As far as the bed's undefiled, that is being chaste. Like the Lord called the church a chaste virgin, and we'll get into more of this stuff as we go through here. But we're about to run out of time now, but we got the first part of it done, and we're glad about that. And it's a good introduction to the and first part of this study of the family, the Christian home. That's what we're talking about. So what have we talked about so far? We've talked about that we're going to study this, and we're going to understand it according to what the Lord said. We've seen how the man was made, how the woman was made. We've seen how they came together and why they came together by God saying that it was not good for a man to be alone. So he made a helpmeet for the man and brought them together. And the Lord thought that the woman was perfect and exactly what the man needed. And so did the man. So he put them all together. So you women that are out there thinking that you're going to get better acknowledgement and better glory and everything else somewhere else other than where God has what God has made for you, that you're mistaken. And you men, same way. We're talking about the family. And you're going to find out in the other books of the Scriptures that the Bible recommends what a woman's supposed to be doing. They're not teaching these young girls nowadays that are coming up womanly things. And what God says that's going to be happy and satisfying and is going to be make a woman content, make a man content. You know, these young boys aren't being taught either of which direction to go and what to do. And that's where the church is failing. And that's where these families are failing. So if you still got a family that are together, you need to get in this book and study this book and find God's book, is what I mean, and study this Bible and find out what God says and incorporate it into your family and watch the Word of God bless your family and bless your being. Okay? We've talked about the first home and where it come from and who made it, how it was made, who was involved in the making of it, and that Jesus verified it, and in the New Testament. And we've also talked about that the marriage is honorable. The Lord's opinion of the marriage, he said that he didn't make no mistake. It's honorable. And he said even the bed that both of them sleep and participate in their family, and we'll get into more of that, but not right now, is undefiled. Undefiled. Now, that's what the Lord said. That's what he said. Okay? Now, a lot of people call that old-fashioned, and they're exactly right, because it's what the Lord made. And it's not old-fashioned, doesn't mean what the world means. The world means to defile the Word of God and to dishonor the Word of God by calling the marriage and the Christian home old-fashioned. And they're wrong, absolutely wrong. So we'll get in here and find out what more the Bible says and concerning it, and we'll talk about the husband's duties to his wife this next time. Well, I want to thank you for listening in on this first study of the family, and I hope that you get in these scriptures. Let me give you these scriptures. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 through 25. Matthew chapter 19, verse 4 through 6. Romans chapter 7, verse 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Those are our scriptures for today, and I hope that you'll reread them. I know that you will, and meditate on them, and compare your, if you're a woman, compare your part as a woman in what God has said. If you're a man, compare your part as a man of what God has said. And then if you're married, compare your marriage to what God has said, and things will go well. They will. Anytime we honor the Lord and honor His Word with making changes, and we're not even saying anything about making changes yet, we're just bringing about some facts of what the Lord has said and where we come from and where marriage and the home has come from. But we honor Him. He honors us in return, doesn't He? Let's give our Lord honor and honor what He said. Until the next recording, thank you for listening. I respect you for honoring God's Word. Bye-bye.